Regular listener, why not check out our YouTube channel for more Arsenal and general football content? Over there, you can sign up to a Chronicles of Aguna membership, gain access to our exclusive members-only content, as well as our private Discord server. But above all, you'll be supporting me to bring you more content and continue what's been an amazing journey covering the Arsenal so far. Enjoy the show. It's the Social Club and we are live.
You're listening to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hello and welcome back to another live edition of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and I'm joined by this wonderful trio this evening. First of all, welcome back, DDL. Thought you'd done a runner there for a minute.
How are you, Harry? You okay?
Yeah, not bad, mate. How are you?
Good to see you. Your hat's on backwards. Know that?
Yeah, it is. It is. I thought I'd be down with the kids. But yeah, we're trying. Also, welcome back to Simon Alavi. How are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm good. All good to you?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. And making his debut on the Chronicles of Aguna, it's a former colleague at turned friend. It's the brilliant George McGibbon, writer over at Snack Media. George, how are you, mate? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, mate. I feel like I've been knocking on the gaffer's door for a while to get my chance and finally given it. So let's hope I don't cock up in this minute.
Are you called Gibbo? Was that a thing at school?
No, Gio. They went with a first name.
Okay. All right.
There you go. Alavi's been waiting to ask you that from the minute we logged on, I'm sure. Well, you've been knocking on the manager's door, and after some impressive displays in training, I've decided to give you the nod. We're going to talk about plenty of things tonight. We're going to start off by talking about Tarik Lamptey, a player that Arsenal are being heavily linked with. Would he be an upgrade on Hector Bellerin? Is Hector Bellerin as bad as everybody makes him out to be? We're going to be talking about Manchester City. Are Pep Guardiola's side the best Premier League team ever? We're going to be discussing that. We're going to be reviewing last week's predictions as well. It's us against the fans. And we're going to see how things went in the competition last week. Right. Let's get into it then. So, Arsenal today, well, not just today, you know, it's been rumoured for a while, are interested in Tarik Lamptey, somebody that has caught the eye at Brighton, obviously joined them from Chelsea. It is now down on the south coast and has impressed a lot of people. Not 100% sure about his injury record and his fitness sort of issues that seem to be a bit of an issue for the guy. But Dan, first of all, what have you made of Tarik Lamptey, and is he somebody that Arsenal should be looking at?
Not really. I mean, it's an unknown quantity, really. You have a couple of these players every season who are playing well at the club they're at. A bit like Max Aarons last year. There was a lot of noise around him. He didn't find his move. He's still playing in the Championship. Norwich still got relegated. I think on Tarik Lamptey, I see a potentially good player. He's not putting up any trees defensively. He's not really chipping in with goals. He's not really posting big numbers in the assist stats. And Brighton are a team who have had a lot of the ball this year in a lot of games. So I don't see him pulling up trees, really, that Arsenal need to go all out and get this player. I think Hector Bellerin has been probably average for a while, but is Tarik Lamptey an improvement? I don't really think so. I think you should be looking for an upgrade on Hector Bellerin as opposed to what would be an expensive punt. To be fair, I think Tarik Lamptey seems to be an okay player, but is that really enough?
Interesting, George. Your take on Tarik Lamptey, mate? I mean, he's somebody that people have been talking about a lot this season, but like I said, you know, he's made just 11 appearances in the Premier League this season, and that is largely down to injury. if you were Arsenal, would you be looking at it? And, you know, bear in mind that Arsenal are rumoured to be considering a sale of Hector Bellerin this summer. Is Tarek Lamptey someone you'd be looking at as a potential replacement?
I mean, yeah, like the points about, you know, his current output are sort of like caveated by the fact that he's playing in a Brighton side that have no decent forwards. I mean, they do have a lot of the ball, but his stats would probably be a bit higher if Brighton could actually take chances. So, I mean, I actually looked up his stats before this, and I see it surprised me that they're very similar to Hector Bellerin. I mean, 0.9 key passes per game, two big chances created over his 11 appearances this season, one assist. Like, Bellerin's got two assists, 0.9 key passes, and he created four big chances per game. So, I mean, yeah, and Bellerin has played twice the amount of games that Lamptey has. So, I mean, if you're looking for a replacement for Bellerin, then, yeah, I mean, his output is exactly the same, but it's his potential ceiling that's higher. You know, he's 20. There's a lot more potential with Lamptey, I'd say, than Bellerin.
Yeah. George, just flick over to your other internet, mate, because it's just cutting out a little bit. Just so that it doesn't break up moving forward. Alavi, your take on the whole Tarek Lamptey thing. Would he be an upgrade in your opinion?
I personally don't think so. I think George is correct when he talks about the age you're paying, because he's, what, 20, 21? I think he limits you in terms of his size. He's not much of an aerial threat. Obviously, the threat of him and Saka down the same wing would be quite frightening for any opposition. I just feel that when you're 25, 26, 27 and you're getting an accumulation of these injuries, then that's one thing. But when you get him at such a young age, I don't know if it's because, you know, conducive to the way he plays or what it is, but I think that he will also limit you because of his size, in the sense that he'd have to pay in a back three. I think maybe he's shining in a poorer team. And I think that you've probably also got to be aware that Chelsea, although they were probably quite ill-advised and maybe injudicious in the sense that they didn't get a buyback on him, they have got a sell-on fee on him as well. So let's just say, for example, that Brighton value him at, they want him for 40 million, right? But Chelsea are entitled to 5 million. They're going to charge you 40 million. So 45 million rather. So there is that to consider as well. If you're giving me that sort of, and I believe, you know, currently if I'm wrong, Harry, but that it is quoted at between say 30 and 40 million. If you're giving me that sort of money, I would be looking at the Inter Milan fullback instead. Because Hakimi. Hakimi, because I think that he's more of a physical presence. I think he's chipped in a lot more goals and assists in terms of his stats. I think he offers a range of passing that Lamptey doesn't, although Lamptey's, you know, a lot better carrying the ball forward and is probably more unplayable going forward at times. And I think he's just the more proven talent. He's Moroccan, isn't he? So he's just a bit more of a proven talent. So if I had that sort of money, and I know you don't think that you know, they'll sell him, but they're in financial crisis, so they will sell him for the same amount that you can buy Lamptey from. So if you said it's a toss-up between those two players, then I would take Hakimi. And the final point I'll probably make on this, and I don't usually go on about the injuries because it's only really players like Owen and Cliver who have had these injuries at a young age where they've never really gone on to fulfill their full potential. But actually, it's ironic that I remember sitting here on a pod a couple of years ago and talking about Bellerin being the best fullback in the league. And then, I'm not an Arsenal fan, so I won't give you the date, but it was something like early 2019, maybe January, February. He suffered.
Really, as recently as that?
It was an ACL injury, right?
Yep.
And he's probably, I mean, Arsenal have been hampered with him actually. It's like this, it's a running joke where they get quite a few of those injuries, but he got that injury, and I would say that he's never quite been the same player because of that injury, in my opinion. And that is because of the way he plays. So I worry that he's getting that many injuries. I'm talking about Lamptey now. at this age, which is why I would go for the Inter Milan with Hakimi at this point if I had a choice between the two.
I think Matt agrees in the chat. Matt says, I think he's too expensive a risk. Well,
smart guy.
I mean, for me, though, Hakimi's not an option. So that feels
he is an option.
He's not an option. It's a pointless discussion. It's a pointless discussion. There is no link. There is no...
Real Madrid have no buyback clause, okay? You're telling me Inter Milan would not sell him to a club for point. They are desperate for money, Harry. Desperate.
I reckon they're going to get taken over again in turn. I don't think they will be selling.
You know more about Italian football than me, but you're telling me if you had 35 million to spend, you have a choice between the two. It's a no-brainer.
But I'm not saying that.
I think
that.
They do have the choice between the two.
But I'm not saying that I would choose Lamptey over Hakimi. But the link is to Lamptey, and there is no link to Hakimi.
There is.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but the question you've asked us is he an upgrade on Bellerin? That's what the
question
is.
And we're all saying
it's not, is Tariq Lamptey, worth an amount of money? What you said there about Bellerin's injury, yeah, Bellerin got injured, but I think Bellerin was a player, a bit like Tariq Lamptey now, who was given extra marks out of 10 because he was young. Unfortunately, young players get old. And if you don't improve with your age, eventually you end up in the situation now where you're being compared with a team fighting for survival. That's the reality of it. So actually, Arsenal have, over the last three or four seasons, got progressively worse. And I think that has had much of an impact on Bellerin's form. It was only about 3 years ago where I think Bellerin was the guy holding the ball at Palace when Arsenal fans were singing, "You're not fit to wear the shirt." So there's been question marks over Bellerin for a long time. But if you look player for player, is Tariq Lamptey faster? No. Is he better defensively? No. Is he better from an attacking sense? No, not really.
I think he's better going forward. I think. But
I guess my kind of point here is, how much of an upgrade is he really against Hector Bellerin? And I just can't really see it. I don't see a player that actually, if you swap them over tomorrow, you're going to get an instant impact. And I think what the problem you've got here is, attacking fullbacks of this nature are only good when they don't have to defend. And at the minute, Arsenal can't offer Bellerin that. They're not going to be able to offer Tariq Lamptey that. And I don't see how he slots into the side and improves Arsenal at this point in time.
But I think what was key was what George said at the beginning is the ceiling thing, right? Tariq Lamptey at that age probably has a higher ceiling. But as I always say, potential means nothing unless it's fulfilled.
Yeah, but I guess the point is, though, Bellerin at that age had an even bigger ceiling and he hasn't reached that. The answer is why, and are the conditions different? So if you look at Trent Alexander-Arnold, even 6 months ago, you'd say the world is his absolute oyster. He was probably second or third in my mind player of the year last year. You look at him this season, he's a shadow of that player. Doesn't mean he's a bad player, but he's a shadow of that player. And the question is why? The reason is this season, he's an attacking fullback who has to defend, because the defence isn't there to support him. So is Tariq Lamptey going to get that at Arsenal if he joins? Absolutely not. So where is the benefit to Arsenal going to be of his key attributes? And I just can't see it. I think it'd be a really poor signing.
George, let me bring you back in, mate, because you had some interesting things to say about Tariq Lamptey, and I agree with most of them. But where are you on Hector Bellerin? Is he somebody who threatened to go on and become one of the best right backs in European football but hit a brick wall? Is he someone that can still do a job? Is he someone that Arsenal should just be looking to move on from? There are a lot of Arsenal fans out there who feel that his time is done and it is the right time to cash in on him. Bear in mind as well that Hector Bellerin's contract after this season will have 2 years remaining. So it feels like the right time, maybe, if you're going to sell. But where are you on Bellerin, George?
Well, I mean, I'm not an Arsenal fan either, but I mean, one of the things I understood about his situation was that he was the one that was considering. I mean, there was talks with Mikel Arteta, I read earlier in the week, that he was suggesting that perhaps his time at Arsenal was up. And I mean, if you've got a player that has that sort of opinion, and it's been mooted for years now. I mean, like you were saying, a couple of years ago, this was a guy who was talking about returning to Barcelona, who did have this great potential, who did have, the world at his feet. And it seems like everything's just got a bit stale at Arsenal for him recently. So, yeah, I mean, I can't see why investing in a young prospect like Lamptey, who is putting a similar output to Bellerin out now, you know, I can't see why that would be a bad idea. Maybe there are better options, you know, like Hakimi, like, they're all viable options. But, I mean, if Lamptey is available for 35 million, I think he would definitely get an upgrade on there. Is my internet better or not?
I'm not sure. Have you switched? Have you switched from one to the other?
It's about as good as Daniel when he said that young players get old.
What do I do?
Expert insight. Try switching it back once more, George, if you can. Try switching it back once more. Sorry, it's been painful.
The point is, it's different because, you know, you like to say pulling up trees every few sentences, so it was nice to get a variation of
the, yeah, one from the from the back of the phrase. But the fact one is, the point is, players seem to get overrated because they're young. At the minute a player's young, it's like, oh, he's amazing. He's not amazing. He's young. If you're playing professional football now in the first team, I expect the same output, irrespective of your age.
But you can't get a free. His stats are the same as Bellerin.
Say again?
His stats are the same as Bellerin, is what Gibbo's saying.
So he's not an upgrade then, if it's the same? That's the question answered, isn't it?
He's played half the game.
He's
played half the game.
In a week.
And he's younger.
How many ways are we going to cut these stats to get the answer you want? That's what I'm on it.
There are two teams that, you know, are going to avoid relegation this year. So I guess you can look at it as, you know, the similarities there, aren't there?
You've become so bad at these lame shit jokes that you make. And then, you give this like cut of the eye where you're waiting for somebody to laugh at it and somebody to point it out. But actually,
Graham's wife is.
Actually, you're an immature child and nobody should give you the time of day when you do that. George, are you back with us?
Yeah, he's smiling.
He's smiling, but he's frozen.
Yeah.
George, try come out of StreamYard completely, mate, and come back in again if that's all right. Technical difficulties is part and parcel of doing live shows. That's how it is. We move forward. Let's start talking about Dan DeLuca's favourite subject, and that is Manchester City. Are they, Alavi, the best side to ever play in the Premier League, this current group? That's what some people are suggesting. I don't think they are. I think there are others that have gone on to achieve more. But where did this side rank?
Obviously, it's hard to say before the end of the season. This side is not the best team to play in Premier League history. They've got the worst competition. However, this Manchester City side has a lot of the same players that I rank personally as the best Premier League side in history, and that's the 2018 team. I personally feel that even though this side is more technically astute defensively, you know, you don't have Delph in there, you don't have Otamendi in there, they're a more rounded team. I just think that the 2018 team, for me, is the single best Premier League team I've ever seen in terms of the way they played, the fact that they won the League Cup as well, the fact that they obviously got 100 points. The way they played football is the nearest I've seen in this country to the way Barcelona played. If they go on this season and beat Bayern Munich, which are probably the only other viable team to win the Champions League, if they're going to win the Champions League and storm this league, then there has to be an argument, because you can't always just rule something out because it's current. Because you always get some old biddy at the tennis club who says that Bjorn Borg is the best tennis player ever, and it doesn't matter if Djokovic and Nadal absolutely, spank Roger Federer's Grand Slam titles, they'll all be going on about Roger Federer being better. That's just what people do. So I personally don't. I think it's too early to say. What I would say is you cannot discredit what he has done in the last 20 teams, because they haven't just beat a load of an old rubbish. So if you look at the... again, you have to wait till the end of the season, but I think the Champions League is key, because the thing I've had with the, say, the Invincibles is... I do give the Invincibles credit, but they did go out of the Carling Cup, the FA Cup and the Champions League to, I think, Borough, Man United, and one of... Chelsea and Liverpool. I can't remember.
What's that got to do? We're talking about Premier League team. Best Premier League team. Yeah, so, the best so why are you bringing in the Carabao because Cup?
The best Premier League team also has to, in my opinion, substantiate that status with another trophy, which is why no one calls it the Man United team of 99 with that great midfield. They go, it's the Man United treble team of 99. Just like the 2008 Man United team with the best player we've seen in Premier League with Ronaldo, also on the Champions League. 2005 Chelsea team that actually only lost one less game than Arsenal the previous year, but they just lost one, so they weren't invincible, so to speak, and they beat Arsenal's points tally. They didn't win much else that year. So I don't know if DDL agrees, but I do think what else you win this year does come into it. You can't just say that, oh, it's just purely based on like Premier League. Otherwise, by default, the 2018 team that I'm saying that Manchester City got 100 points with are the best team because they got the most points. You can't just look at it as what they did in Premier League and ignore every other single thing. I think that's just disingenuous, in my opinion. But to answer your question, the 2018 team, for me, Man City is the best of the team. But it's unfair to answer the question so early. And I don't think you can just discredit them because we always look at teams in the past as having this historical, I don't know, revisionism where we just put them out on this pedestal. And DDL is a fair person. So I think as much as he doesn't like Pep. Yeah, because I think that as much as he doesn't like Pep, I think he will be able to separate that from the fact that City have done pretty well this year, and that is hard to disagree with.
I'm getting stick in the comments tonight for the way I'm treating you guys, so I do apologise.
Every week is the same week.
I'm the same tyrant. Absolute tyrant.
97, so it is sort of.
Yeah, I can say what I want to, Avi. let's go. Let's see if George is back with us. George, can you hear me, mate?
And we're not guests. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, all good, mate. George, your take on this Man City side. How good are they, in your opinion? Because I know what DDL is going to come with, and I know it's going to come with a real monologue of anti-Pep Guardiola propaganda. So I wanted to come to you first, mate. What's your take on this current Man City side? How good are they?
I mean, they're fantastic. And I think one of the points that we were talking about, one of the points that was discussed there was sort of longevity. And I mean, if City do go on to win the title this year, which I mean, it's 99% sure that they are going to, it'll be their third Premier League title in 4 years. And I mean, barring the ridiculous Liverpool season last year, I mean, you know, it's almost unprecedented. There's the Manchester United teams Sir Alex Ferguson teams that did it back to back, actually, three in a row. But I think the most impressive thing for me personally, and I think this might wind DDL up, is the sort of evolution that Pep Guardiola has put this team through this season. I mean, it wasn't long ago that, you know, in this season that we were talking about, you know, Spurs winning the league, or, you know, saying it was one of the most open title races that we've had since the Leicester season. And these last 20 games have just sort of shown that Pep Guardiola has changed the way the City team play. Like, they don't press as much. They've almost conserved their energy in this season that's so sort of hectic. And then when the time has come and people are getting injuries, people are getting tired, you know, like fatigue is setting in, they've just absolutely trounced it. And I think that's a very calculated, I think that's a very measured thing that Guardiola has done. And, you know, last season we were talking about him, you know, I wrote quite a lot about Manchester City last season, and they were talking about him, you know, potentially leaving. And you've got players like John Stones that were rumoured all summer to be out the door, and Cancelo that was a flop. And this season, I mean, Stones has come back. He's got to be a shoo-in for the England team now. And Cancelo is one of the best fullbacks in the world.
Yeah, 60 million, but yeah.
Boy, yeah, there's that. But I mean, I don't know if DDL has read Pep Confidential. I'm sure he'd really enjoy it if he did. But there's a really interesting, the thing that I got from that book was that playing for Pep Guardiola and his teams, it's almost like studying a degree or being at school. You know, he comes into a side and he basically implements his style from head to toe in the team. And it's very much a process. So, you know, Bayern, like, it took months and months and months before it actually sort of started clicking in the way that he wanted it to. And for them to play that sort of Guardiola football with a little bit of a Bayern sort of tinge to it. But the most impressive thing is he did that at City the first time, and he went on and he won the title, and he went on and won the title again with 100 points. And now this is the first time in his career that he's had a real setback, you know, like, and then hasn't moved on from it. Because this is the longest he's ever been at a club. And the way that he's come back and reinvented this Manchester City side, I just think it's been one of the most impressive features of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that assessment. DDL, the floor is yours, my friend, because I know this is going to get... And I want all the passion that you sent us in our 8 a.m. voice note this morning. And those voice notes, for those of you, obviously, that don't receive them, always begin like this. You know Pep Guardiola, right?
Before you listen to the voice note, you have to say, can I just check this starts with Pep Guardiola? Because if not, I'm not listening to it.
And then we get 5 minutes. They're not voice notes, they're podcasts.
Should just record them. Should just play that and I'll just go and get a beer.
Steve Dixon's hairline was one.
I actually I agree with the points that Lavi made. I agree with the points that George made as well. There's some good points in there. Fair points. Nothing wrong with any of it. But what is the question you're asking me? The question you're asking me is this Manchester City team today the best Premier League team of all time? That does not take 5 minutes 30 seconds to answer. It's just a resounding
no, but I want to know what I want you to share is the reason, because you rolled off some reasons to us earlier on as to why you feel that Man City have gained an advantage this season. Even
I think they've okay, so let's do this properly. The answer to the question is absolutely not, and whoever's asked the question should be wheeled away in a van and not allowed out until they've had several hours of interrogation and clarified that they're fit to walk among us, right? It's not the best team of all time. It's not even the best Manchester City team of all time.
Yeah.
It's not even better than the Liverpool team last year. You've not even got to go back more than 6 months to find a team better than this team.
Is it so better than the Aguero team?
No, it's not even. It's not even
not,
better
not
than
the one
team.
I mentioned. The QPR one I'm talking about.
It's probably better than that one, but it's not better than the 2013-14 team under Pellegrini. Not a chance.
Or
don't
the
even play as good.
One.
Probably not even that one. No. So it's probably the fourth best Manchester City team. If the invincible Arsenal team played them, they would absolutely destroy them, in my opinion. And I'm sure some of your viewers will be nodding and agreeing. The Manchester United teams in 99 would give this team a proper good game, and I think Liverpool last season would beat them quite comfortably. Chelsea. What's happened this year? So to agree with George's points, okay, what everything he said about what Pep Guardiola has done with this team and other teams is absolutely accurate. The way he's got this team to play and reinvented them so that they've won this league at a canter, which was supposed to be close, is fantastic. Brilliant. Round of applause. Well deserved. Can't take anything away from him. But to then go and create this idea that now because of that, where the competition has been poor, let's be fair, this season was a two-horse race. Everyone before the season, apart from me, because, where I said Liverpool wouldn't finish in the top three because I'm a visionary. Apart from me, everyone said...
Modest is our DDL, by the way, if you don't know.
It's got that in every pod as well.
It's recorded. World Cup. Yeah, it's recorded. So... there's a two-horse race. One horse hasn't turned up. So it's not hard to win the league, is it? So they've won the league. They've got no one to beat. They've gone on a really good run. But the reason we're talking about this is because Pep Guardiola is the manager. And my issue is, why does everything Pep Guardiola does have to be amplified to this ridiculous stratospheric level when it just doesn't exist? It doesn't exist. It's a good team. It's no more than a good team. If any other person was manager apart from Pep, this question wouldn't even be asked. And it's because of what he's done previously, and the English media were so desperate to have the Premier League being the best league in the world. They pretended for a while it was. They're so desperate to achieve that. They've latched on to this person. And we have to amplify everything and bow down and pay homage to everything he does. And it's bullshit. It really winds me up. The stuff he comes out with as well is just aggravates me, which I'm sure some of the listeners know, that he says things like, yeah, we've got through hell this winter. Well, you helped yourself to a winter break, mate. I mean, let's not let's not mess around. You was going to an in-form Everton and you had scheduled a nice winter break for yourself. The only team in hit, the only person in the world in the last 9 months who have had 15 cases of COVID and they all miraculously recovered 2 days later. Nonsense. The guy is a very clever coach, he's a very clever manager, but he knows how to get an advantage and he uses it. He uses his position of power as leverage. It frustrates me. But the team we're looking at on the pitch are nowhere near a conversation about being the best team of all time. Pep Guardiola being considered the best manager of all time frustrates me enough. There are historically three better managers than him today in the Premier League. Let's stop amplifying everything this guy does. Let's stop amplifying it. Let's just say they're a good team. He's a very good manager. And just leave it there. Why do we always have to go overboard?
Who would have three? Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I think he's saying Ancelotti.
Historically, Klopp.
Yeah, Ancelotti, Mourinho.
Klopp is the other and one. Klopp. Mourinho is the other one.
Historically, if I don't see how anyone can make a case for Pep Guardiola's achievements stacking up to those three managers.
I think Klopp might be the argument against.
He's gone to two teams. He's gone to two teams that are less than fashionable, and he's transformed them in the way Pep transforms his clubs, and he succeeded.
I mean, if you purely look at trophies, do you purely look at stuff like Harry and I, we value like so much what he did with Barcelona. That's
no, no, you look
play,
at
so.
You look
you don't
at the
value trophies because like, you value you look Harry, at, Harry Kane, but you know
you look at the expectation when you join a club. I've made this point before.
Yeah,
the last manager not to win the Premier League with Manchester City was Mark Hughes. That's a fact, and that fact is never going to change. When Pep Guardiola's gone, the next manager will come in and win the league. And now we have to say this is the best Man City team of all time because they've won a league with less points than the last three seasons. It's bollocks.
But
it's
I think what George's point was that Pep's frailties to a degree were that people thought he could never quite, despite spending $300-400 million on different, he could never quite get that slightly different way of playing, where it's a little bit more pragmatic, a little bit more sensible at times, and actually got a good defence behind. And so he's actually shown a different style. Not, I don't want to say style, because he doesn't lose that Pep Guardiola playing, but he has shown a different, I guess, I don't know what the best word is.
He's done his managing
almost. So you can't take that. You have to at least give him that if you're going to be fair.
Yeah, I'm not taking that away from him, am I? I'm saying that's he's done a fantastic job this season, and he's demonstrated a bit more in his armoury.
Yeah, that was what. Yeah.
Does that make this team better because he's done that? Of course it doesn't.
Okay. How much credence does it add if he goes and beats Bayern? I know Harry said it's not relevant what they do, but I think that's rubbish. Like what they do outside of the Premier League is relevant. If he goes and beats Bayern Munich,
well, it's irrelevant to the question of are they the best Premier League team ever? Of course
it is. But
we've moved on from that.
Okay, fine. If he goes and beats Bayern Munich, does that not change your mind?
Probably not.
George, you were going to say something, mate. Hold on. George was going to say something. One second.
Sorry,
George, what were you going to say, mate?
No, I was just laughing at something that you said. Oh. But I mean, I do understand the points that DDL makes. But I just quite like to ask, actually, do you think that if Jose Mourinho was in charge of this City team, that he'd get the same results?
Do I think he'd win? Do I think he'd get the same results? Not necessarily.
Do you think he'd win the league?
Yeah, of course
he would. Yeah, he would. Yeah.
I mean, and it's the same question in reverse. Do I think Pep Guardiola would have won the league and Champions League with Liverpool? Maybe. Won the German League with Dortmund? Maybe. Won a Champions League with Porto and Inter? Definitely not. So the question is circular, isn't it? You apply the same. And if you look at if Klopp does what he does at Dortmund and then doesn't do it at Liverpool as well, then the debate becomes a bit more rounded, doesn't it? To go and do that twice with two different clubs, it's not winning the Champions League at Porto, you can get lucky. It's Porto and Inter, and now you're dealing with a manager who has overachieved twice. With Pep Guardiola,
he's only been a manager 12 years. Mourinho's been around double that.
That's true. But then by the same token, these two managers we're talking about, their successes that we're talking about have come in their first 12 years of management, haven't they?
So I think his argument is, where has Pep gone where he hasn't been the best in the league?
Right. And I get that. But why should Pep be penalised for that? So Pep got given the Barcelona job with no experience, right? Barcelona took a gamble and it paid off massively. Jose Mourinho had to do it a slightly harder way, came through at Porto, and credit to him, he done a wonderful job at Porto. But why is the fact that Barcelona were willing to take a gamble on Pep Guardiola, why is that something that we should put against Pep Guardiola?
Why do you rate Maradona higher than Messi?
Why do I rate Maradona higher than Messi?
Yeah, then you've got the answer to the question.
What you're gonna, you think that I'm gonna say because he went and done it in different places and did it on international
stage?
Say because I think he was a better footballer than Lionel Messi.
That doesn't come into the argument.
But the answer to the question is, you're asking me to compare managers in history, so I'm gonna take that into account. If you're asking me to compare the managers today, right now as we're talking, then the best manager today is Pep Guardiola. But if you're talking about the history, you've got to take all these remits into account. So at some point between now and the end of Pep Guardiola's career, he's going to have to retire, or he's going to have to take a lower job. And at the point he takes that lower job and achieves what these managers achieved, then he can stake a claim to genuinely be one of the best managers in history. Until now, he's not even as good as Arsene Wenger. Sorry, but he isn't. He's not.
It's the same stick that Messi's going to be whipped with, right?
Maybe. Well,
that's what I mean. Why do you apply that to Guardiola, but you won't apply it to Messi?
I might apply it to both.
No, I'm asking DDL.
Oh, sorry.
Why?
DDL rates Maradona above.
In terms of individual brilliance, I have not seen anything better than Lionel Messi. He's shown me things I've never seen before. What Pep Guardiola's shown me, I have seen before.
You rate Maradona above Messi, don't you, for the same reason?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Maradona, I rate Maradona above Messi because of what he did at Napoli. So it's exactly the same principle.
Exactly.
So it's the same, for me, it's the same principle, it's consistent. And that's, you know, individually, you know, they're both fantastic players. Pep Guardiola is a very, very good football manager. But if you want me to compare him historically, I'm not going to be a sheep like everyone else and just, Pep Guardiola, it must be amazing because he's there and he wears a nice cardigan. I don't care. I don't care about his cardigan.
Does wear some bloody good cardigans.
Yeah,
there,
and a scarf.
So the point is, in terms of everything this guy does, he's amplified, and it has to stop. It has to stop. Mark Hughes. That's the last manager not to do what Pep Guardiola has done at Man City. Simple as that.
I think Mark Hughes was the manager of Man City last time Mourinho won a title.
hey, love that.
I think Mark Hughes was the builder.
Is that a true story?
It could be.
It's probably about that. Ten years.
Might be. I think probably a bit longer. I think you'll find Mourinho won the league in 2015, where Mark Hughes was tidying up a QPR or Fulham somewhere, I imagine.
Never let the truth spoil a good story, as we always say. But we'll move on from this now. But I guess my kind of thought on this is, no, they're not the best team right now in the Premier League. But for me, I get what you're saying, and I get why people look at what Mourinho did at other clubs and they use that as a weight to kind of propel him up. I get that. I just find it difficult when people say, oh, but Pep's only had the biggest jobs. Well, he's only had the biggest jobs because he's the best. That's how it is. You know, in any walk of life, in any career, why would you drop down your level when the highest level is there for you to grab it? You wouldn't. Nobody willingly goes down a level. Mourinho's gone down a level at Spurs now. And I'm not meaning that to have a dig at DDL.
But he's gone
down a level because he's been crap for a few years.
He's run out of clubs.
Yeah. Well, if Pep Guardiola got to the point...
There's one best club, isn't there, in every league. There's one best club in every league. he's done all of them, tick, 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 and then you have a choice, don't you?
Okay, so who does everyone think is the best ever? If I go City 2018.
Dino?
Oh, Jesus. Probably City 2014.
Okay, yeah.
George?
United 08.
Yeah, it's really a fair argument.
Yeah, like Ronaldo, Tevez. Yeah.
Fair.
I'm
going to go Invincibles.
Oh,
surprise, surprise.
What a bottle
Invincibles.
Job.
Never lost the game. Never lost the game. Yeah. Right, let's move on from that because we're running out of time. Let's touch on this week's predictions. And I've got some results, and there's some fantastic results. So this is the results from this weekend, and then we'll talk about the overall standings. So this weekend in fourth place came Alavi with 5 points after he criticized my predictions the week before on numerous occasions in a WhatsApp group and on this podcast, I believe. I scored double what Alavi scored this week with 10 points. DDL came in with 9 and you, the fans, came in with 6. But the standings currently are as follows. The fans are still top of the table, 27 points overall. DDL is in second with 26, so he's hot on your heels. I'm in third on 21, and Alavi has dropped down into the relegation spot. No surprise, really, after your betting picks last week as well. Jesus. But there we are. Right, it's time for you guys in the chat to give us your predictions for this weekend's Premier League fixtures. So one representative from the listeners is going to pick, do all the predictions. So I'm going to go through the chat and I'm going to randomly pick someone to do it. I'm going to go for Alcarp. Alcarp, are you happy to do it? Are you going to do it? Let me know in the chat. Give me a thumbs up or something so that I know you want to do it. I'm going to put these fixtures up on the screen. And then you need to do them all in one message, right? Because I'm not going to scroll through the chat for about 2 hours looking for things. A couple of you have done it already. So Alcarp, let me know, mate, if you're happy to do it. Here's the fixtures coming up on the screen now. If I can ever find it, because I'm not good at using all this shit. Here we go. So we're starting from the Saturday games, right? So let me zoom that in a little bit. Can I even do this? There we go. All right, there you go. Saturday and Sunday's games there. So starting from Burnley, Arsenal, all the way up to Tottenham, Crystal. Are we including the Monday games as well? Is that all 10?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, so we've got from Saturday to Monday, those are the games. Get your predictions in. Alcarp's doing them. So Alcarp, get them all in one message for us. Those of you saying you're gutted that you're not doing it, I promise, Matt, you're on to do it next week. I'm going to make a note of it now, because Matt is one of our members and one of our loyal listeners, and he's always there in the chat. So Matt, if I forget by next week, if I lose this little post-it note or whatever,
I'll remember.
Then please do remind me. Oh yeah, one of you guys remember. Yes,
it's written down, Matt.
Cool, there you go. Matt is the man. So Alcarp, you work away on that. You've got about 2 minutes to do it. No pressure.
Sounds like the DL one. Back in his youth.
Back in his youth only. What else was I going to touch on today? I did have something else.
Well, Man United just drew 0-0. So that's title over, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, let's come to George. George, have you been disappointed by how Man City have run away with the title from a neutral perspective? Because it does feel like now, you know, it's a formality, isn't it?
I wouldn't say disappointed. No, I've actually quite enjoyed their football. But I mean, as a West Ham fan, you know, I thought we ran pretty close. I thought we ran them pretty close last week. It was a fantastic game. But no, I mean, it's quite interesting. I mean, although City have run away with the title, the race for sort of Champions League and Europa League places now is looking very tasty. I mean, that's falling like a stone with all their injuries. Villa have lost their game in hand now. West Ham still fourth. I mean, it's actually turned out to be, you know, despite the title race, it's been quite an interesting season, I'd say.
Leicester dropped points today as well, didn't they?
Leicester, yeah. Good for Arsenal that as well, because Arsenal, you know, got a game in hand over Leicester now, and if we win that, we're just the small matter of 10 points behind them. But jokes aside, you know, there's a few teams that there that will be looking to hopefully drop points over the next few weeks. And then, of course, Arsenal travel to Burnley on Saturday. And then next weekend, DDL, it's the North London Derby. So we'll do a little something special on that. But, I mean, it's Mother's Day as well. So
break.
Does this propose a problem for you, DDL?
It proposes a problem for Mrs. DDL, certainly. I'm afraid. Maybe she won't remember.
I'll tell you a problem.
She's not my mother. She's not my mother, is she? So, yeah.
What, my wife, mother's and daughter's birthday within a week.
It's horrendous.
I've got my sons and my wife's a day after one another.
Yeah,
one on the 19th.
But yours is done now.
Guardiola's complaining about that run of hard fixtures. There sounded like some pretty difficult ones there.
Mate.
But, the whole Mother's Day thing is... I always think of Mother's Day as, you know, a little bit of breakfast and that's it. You know, a brunch, if you like. And the game's at 4:30, so we should be all right.
But it got all complicated when you then have a kid, because then apparently you're meant to sort of represent the kid for...
Yes.
I never got that until about a year ago. Do you know what I mean? Like, it becomes a double-edged sword. You're like, I'm meant to like put some little phony present now, pretending it to be from... That's bad, isn't it? Meant to just be your mother, really.
Yeah,
it's complicated.
My children have got no access to funds.
That's what I mean.
A vehicle, means of getting to a shop, and they can't order from that. My oldest could probably work out how to buy something off of Alexa if I left him unhinged. Yeah. He's six.
I mean, it's coming out of their ISA, but it's not the point, is it? It's still a bit difficult.
And Avi, the predictions are in the chat, mate. So cool. Make a note of those.
I'll write them down.
Right, we're gonna wrap it up. We're going to leave it there. Thank you for joining us on this week's edition of The Social Club. George, thank you so much for joining us, mate. How can people follow you on social media and keep up to date with your work?
At George McGibbon on Twitter. And sorry for my Wi-Fi. I apologise.
It's all good, man. We made it through in the end. Don't worry about it. Thank you to everybody in the live chat. Hope you're all well. Thanks for your support as always. Make sure, if you haven't on your way out, if you are watching us on YouTube, that you do hit the like button. Make sure you subscribe to the audio if you prefer listening on that platform. And a couple of quick messages from me. First of all, this show is sponsored by manscaped.com. So if your Forbidden Forest is in need of some deforestation, then head over to manscaped.com. Check out some of their fantastic products. You can get the Lawnmower 2.0 and God knows what else is available if you need to get yourself sorted in that department. And if you use our promo code, which is 90min20, you'll get 20% off of your order and free shipping to wherever you are in the world. Also, if you're interested in becoming a member of the channel and getting access to our exclusive members content, as well as becoming part of our private Discord server and getting a range of other benefits, then you can do so by clicking on the link in the description. We hope you haven't...
Can we get the gem at all?
Alcott, pick one result, mate, that is your gem, your standout prediction, the one that you think is a little bit against the grain, but you're being quite bold in it. I mean, looking at their predictions, I'm just trying to see. I think the Brighton Leicester 2-2 is quite a shout.
Yeah, I had that as a draw, but we can both have the same gem. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'll have that as a fine.
Brighton can't score, Alcott.
There you go. But yeah, guys, thank you all so much for joining us. Really, really appreciate it. The Social Club is our show where we talk a little bit of non-Arsenal and we get a little bit passionate and we unwind a little bit, which is always good fun. Alcott confirms Brighton Leicester 2-2. That's the one. Right, we'll be back very, very soon with more content. I'll be back tomorrow. So until then, take care of yourselves and stay safe. All the best. Until next time. Ciao.
listening to the Chronicles of Iguna, the Arsenal podcast.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.